This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass.
Thanks, Macca. Early this week, Macca, the ALP, through the federal member for Ballarat and the opposition minister for health and Medicare, announced a $53 million package to make HIV history. We have Catherine King, the opposition minister for health and Medicare, on the line to talk to us about that. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. Lovely to be with you both.
Great to have you on air. So this package actually has a number of components. There's a $10 million component to renew or restore funding to HIV and AIDS organisations who lost funding under the Turnbull government. There's $3 million to target hidden populations, for example, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander populations. And the third component is to expand access to PrEP. Will this make a difference? Will this actually, this package actually help to eliminate new HIV infections?
Look, absolutely. I think we've had the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, I understand you're going to have Daryl on shortly, came to us and to the government with a blueprint saying, if we want to make HIV history in this country, we actually have the knowledge to do so. What we're lacking is actually the resources. We know that through the 80s we and leading up to now, we've had a very good response to HIV in this country, and we've in fact led the world. But really, our rate of diagnosis has plateaued at around about 1,000 a year. And they are preventable. We could drive the rate of new diagnoses down to nearly zero. We've got a target to try and get to that, but we're lacking the resources. We're actually not going to meet that target unless we put some investment in. We know particularly the rate amongst Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders and cold communities is higher than the general population, and that hasn't seen any plateauing at all. In fact, that's increasing, and I think that should alarm everybody who's worked across this sector for a long period of time, that we've got lots more work to do. And I think complacency from government, frankly, has set in for a bit. Which is why we've made the announcement, and we've made it so early in the election cycle to put the challenge to the government, we'll match this commitment. Do more if you want to, that's great, because we think we can't just sit and wait for this, really what potentially could be a crisis in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, but across the board of a preventable disease, we can't just let this continue.
So a big part of this package is restoring funding to organisations. How will funding organisations make a difference to HIV infection rates in the community?
Well, the first thing we know very clearly is the reason that we've had success in HIV has been that it has been those community-led, those grassroots organisations that have been part of the solution. They've, in fact, actually led that. They've worked with different population groups, they've worked within that sector, and they've been able to actually establish clinics, push and advocate for self-testing and rapid testing, make sure that that PrEP is actually accessible to people. Currently, it's obviously not listed on the PBS, but have pushed state and territory governments to provide access trials for people. So it's been that community-led, that grassroots organisation that in fact has been integral to actually making a difference here. Know how to work with the populations who are affected, know how to actually, know where they are, know how to deliver services in a way that is appropriate to them. And unfortunately, what we've seen is a very substantial cut to their funding, and that's affected, it has had an impact, and it has affected their capacity. They've done a great job continuing to do what they've always done, but it's actually we need renewed effort, and they're not going to be able to do that without the resources.
Catherine Macca, I see here that this policy includes a commitment to support the states and territories with PrEP for another 17,500 Australians. Now, this is until it's listed on the PBS. Can I ask, great initiative, but why wouldn't you just go to putting it on PBS?
So the government doesn't, you know, the decisions about what drugs get listed on the pharmaceutical benefits scheme and don't are not in the hands of politicians or governments, nor should it be to some extent, because they should be based on what the latest science is, what the cost effectiveness of a drug is. What's happened, though, is obviously the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, which is the body that advises what should go on and what shouldn't on the PBS, hasn't recommended PrEP in the last two times that it's actually looked at this drug. It is looking at it again in December, its December meeting. I think it may already have done so.
I think it was last week, actually.
Yeah, so, and the two things are the originator company is obviously still putting forward an application, which is great, and then there are two generic companies because it's coming off what we call patent. So there's some drive to actually do that. So that hopefully will see it listed. But we've said this before, and what my view is very firmly is that we have are starting to see, you know, states and territories have stepped up, other than the Northern Territory doesn't have an access trial. We're seeing great results from that. We should be actually saying this is actually a public health issue. This is an important area where it is it does have population benefits. This is something that the Commonwealth should support the states to do until it's listed. Now, I'm very hopeful that it be listed. Let's hope very much that it does. If it doesn't, then obviously our view firmly is that the state-based scheme should be expanded and provide access, including supporting the Northern Territory to develop one up there.
It does feel a little bit odd. It feels a little bit like this so-called trial is really a pseudo-funding source for PBS. That's what
basically,
it feels like.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. Basically, you're right. That's basically what it does.
So it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, really.
Look, that sometimes happens, and as I said, because the decision, and the decision is an independent one for the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee to make. I mean, my view, and we probably could have thought about this in government as well, is that very, very rarely does the Commonwealth itself become a sponsor of drugs, and it puts forward the position that it might come and sponsor a drug to come onto the PBS itself. It still has to go through that rigorous process, so we could have maybe done that a lot earlier and tried that as a mechanism or looked at a different, Commonwealth trial mechanism, but that hasn't happened. So we're all hopeful and waiting, hoping that the listing will be approved. But the reality is we were here at this time last year saying exactly the same thing on World AIDS Day. I remember standing up at the World AIDS breakfast in Parliament House saying, we're very keen that PrEP get listed, and the government saying PBAC was considering it. So here we are a year later. So we're not wanting to preempt the independence of the PBAC, but we're saying...
It does feel a little bit odd, with due respect, Catherine. It does feel a little bit odd to me that, we have international evidence that shows that this works. We have people who are now participating in so-called scientific state-based trials. More than that, we now have people who are buying it through buyers' clubs, at whatever rates, and there are many of our organisations who are facilitating that process, and we're waiting for this sort of so-called independent group to collect the evidence and make a decision. It just feels a little bit like they're a bit behind the eight ball to me.
Well,
you probably can't comment on that.
No, I'm just going to say, I can understand the frustration, and there are frustrations across the board when there are a range of drugs that are not listed on the PBS for a raft of reasons, and often they are very, very technical reasons around, not just efficacy, but around cost effectiveness and broad population, and they're very, very complex technical issues, and I wouldn't pretend to be anywhere near an expert in that sort of analysis. I think the issue this time, I think there's been more data submitted on compliance rates, because I think that was one of the issues that the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee raised. And I think having three applications before it hopefully provides it a broader set of information to make decisions on. But, again, it will really be a matter for them. My view firmly is that, look, it's a game changer when it comes to HIV diagnosis. It's really, really an important drug, and I think that the Commonwealth actually needs to step up and find an alternate pathway, which the states have done, and support the states in doing that until it's listed.
Catherine, the package is a fabulous package, and from this studio we congratulate you on putting this forward. Have you had any feedback from the Turnbull government, and do you have a sense of what their reaction to this might be? Will they attempt to actually copy it?
Yeah, look, I don't know, but what it does give the opportunity of the sector and FAO in particular is to say, well, look, Labor's, you know, put some money on the table. Here is our blueprint. You know, here's an opportunity for you to do the same. It gives FAO an opportunity to lobby the government pretty hard, again, which is partly why we've done it early, because it means that the, you know, the government, you know, hopefully will consider that. They may decide not to do anything, but, you know, we're giving them an opportunity to do so. But we're very, very firmly saying Labor is going to the election. This is our policy that we're going to the election with. If you want this policy, then we're hoping that we will get support in the election, and this is what we'll implement. I'm very much looking forward to, if I get the privilege of being the next health minister, of absolutely driving this. I think this is one of the things that, you know, we're very proud of our record in this area. We can't be complacent. I think a bit of complacency stepped in, and I think it's time that we actually did something to make HIV history, and we've got the chance to do it here.
Just one last question, Catherine, from me, Macca. You talk about culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds. I'm interested, have you given consideration, our nearest neighbour, Papua New Guinea, has some serious HIV issues. Have you thought about potentially, you know, in government, working with the PNG government to perhaps introduce some of these programs, and particularly PrEP and greater education into PNG, because it's an area that's hugely under-resourced?
Look, I think internationally there's been, particularly our nearest neighbour, I was in Thailand recently, including with Daryl from FAO, looking at what FAO is doing in Thailand, and that is, you are exactly right, that sort of sits within Penny Wong's portfolio area as the Shadow for Foreign Affairs, and our aid program sits there. We do fund programs through there, but you are correct, we do have a responsibility to share our skills, knowledge and resources to assist our nearest neighbour, because those issues, they also affect us in this region as well. So you're right, I haven't thought particularly about this package. This is very much a domestic package, but I do commend the work that FAO is doing, having seen it firsthand in Thailand, and just, you know, how, what a long, long way they've got to go, even just, you know, in reducing, just reducing the stigma so that people can actually come forward to be able to actually get tested and do all of that prevention work we know is so important here. I think we've got a long way to go in our nearest neighbours.
Thank you.
And if you just if you've just tuned in, that was Catherine King, the federal member for Ballarat and minister for opposition
Shadow.
Minister for Health and Medicare,
yet.
Talking about Labor's plan to make HIV history. A fantastic package, $53 million worth of initiatives to restore funding back to community-based organisations, funds to target hidden populations, and finally funds to expand the PrEP trials before they actually hit PBS.
And thanks for your time, Catherine. Appreciate it.
Lovely. Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.